The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, this is Winners and Sinners. Every week we look back on the week that has just passed by, but with a few twists. And I'm delighted to say that this week we are joined by Esther McCarthy, lifestyle editor at the Irish Examiner, and Joe O'Shea, who is the editor of CorkBio.ie. You're both very welcome to the studio, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Hiya.
Hey.
Good to see. Sorry for waking you, Esther.
What's happening?
I know it's a Friday evening.
Where am I? Who are these people?
Aren't these weirdos?
You're on the radio, Esther, but it's fine.
That explains so much.
40 minutes of this, God help us. We're going to begin with your list. So we're going to start with the winners.
Okay.
Who is this Anna woman?
Anna, she has many names. You might know her as the fake heiress even, or if you looked at...
The fake hairless, yes.
Her hair was often fake looking. She had this bun that I didn't buy for a second. Anna Delvey, or else Delvey, I can't talk today. See, it is Friday. Delvey was what she invented for herself. Her actual name is Sorokin. So she randomly decided to make up this magical, lifestyle on Instagram. She was this amazing, she had a big trust fund and it was all baloney.
Was this the Netflix one?
Yeah, so Inventing Anna was the movie they made of her after she was arrested and basically caught. She had millions. She got a loan for 20 million to try and set up this arts fund in her own name. The ego, that's why I love her. What a winner. But why we're talking about it, she's done her time. She's out of jail. She's got an ankle bracelet.
She's a convicted criminal,
she
is what you're telling us.
She literally is,
yes.
But I mean, that's kind of a bonus in America from celebrity point of view, isn't
it? You could run for president even if you have
exactly.
a conviction these days.
Anna for president, I shouted. Yeah, because I do have her my winner because she is going on to Dancing with the Stars in the US. So she got special dispensation to actually travel because she's not supposed to leave, a certain amount of whatever meter is. She's going to bejewel her ankle tag.
There's nothing more modern about the United States of America than somebody appearing on a mainstream television program with an ankle bracelet. That will clearly be obvious because she is dancing.
But she's proud of it. She's not hiding it anyway. It's part of her brand now. She's I never did anything wrong. She's very kind of bulgy about the whole thing, which is kind of why I love her as well. It was the big hotels. So she was, going into the hotels, someone else is picking up the tag. The Egypts that believed it. I mean, I got into a club one time for free by pretending I was, writing a review of it or something when I was 17. But, if I could get to the level of getting the Hilton for weeks on end and all these.
I can't remember. I know she had a very posh accent and she tried to pretend she wasn't. Wasn't European, was she?
She was European.
Oh, she was European.
She's actually from a very ordinary family. I think they're Russians who ended up in Germany. So she had a very clipped, very kind of this kind of accent. Obviously, someone might think I'm her now because I'm so amazing at it.
Let's do more accents on the radio because they always work out well.
But yeah, so she was she was in the movie or the kind of dramatization that Netflix did. It was Anna was, she was cool, she was hip, she was on the top of everything. And she was very, she never went, people came to her. She was never kind of mad going, will you do this for me, will you do that? She's I asked for people, if they gave it to me, I took it. If they didn't, I moved on. This is what she says, so she's basically saying that now she's got her own, she's going to hire her own director basically because she wants to control the narrative because she thinks the media... set her up and dramatised it and there was no big deal actually what she did.
Deluded is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, deluded and amazing. I think she's actually amazing that she's and the fact that people are allowing her, she's going to win it. They're going to be ringing in and they're going to be voting for her. She said, I loved what she, this is actually why I picked her as my winner. She was what's the worst that can happen? What are they going to do? Arrest me for bad dancing?
Well, to be fair, having watched that programme, I think that should be a charge levelled at some. Joe, you've never done Dancing with the Stars, have you?
No, not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge.
An ankle tag either.
I did a white collar boxing thing once on TV.
Did you?
Yeah, I did actually. Yeah, yeah. And that was fun actually.
Did you win?
I did.
That's why you mentioned
it. It
was against a 12-year-old girl.
I actually knocked out a guy who nearly became president of Ireland, rather bizarrely.
Just going to leave it there. It's not going to tell us who the longest story.
And I'm terrible with names. And to be honest, it's awful. It's Sean is his name, but I can't.
Sean Geller.
Yeah, Sean Geller.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Very nice man. Lovely man.
Yeah. Is that why you punched him? Or?
Yeah. And it's funny, it was just in the elevator in the hotel. So that was like, it hadn't even started. But no, so that's what, as close as I've got to one of those. Oh, I did charity singing with the stars. I forgot that.
See,
I did.
I knew the second we scratched the surface
there was going to be a celebrity something
there. And I was in Jersey Shore for 4 seasons.
Guys, still waiting for the proper acclaim for that one. Yeah. Joe, who is on your list of winners?
Well, I've got two this week, and I'm sure it's going to be a really, really popular choice. It's Jack Grealish and Declan Rice. The proudly, three lines on their chest, Englishmen who will tomorrow go into the Lions' Den in Dublin. Ireland are playing England in football, and for people who may not know, these pair played for Ireland. I think Jack Grealish had 18 youth caps or something like that, and Rice was actually declared the FAI Young Irish Player of the Year the night before he announced he was playing for England.
Mm. The funny thing is, I watch these guys, week in, week out on the Premier League, and for some reason, every time I see them, a little internal boo plays in my mind. And I am not a soccer yob by any stretch of the imagination, but I always feel a little bit kind of betrayed. Somewhere.
Yeah, and here's the funny thing about it, and this is kind of, I'm being slightly tongue-in-cheek in choosing these two guys, but I think there's a few things about this. First of all, Rice has handled this all very well, right? And he's made some pretty good points. These are two young guys who, in Rice's case, he was born and raised in London. His parents were born and raised in London. His paternal...
The grandparents.
Grandparents are from Cork, right?
You've made the betrayal worse now.
It's even worse now. But like, for people to expect these guys, they played for Ireland when they were kids, basically. But to expect any degree of loyalty from these guys to Ireland, I think is stretching it a bit much, right? Now, we have benefited to a great extent from the grandfather rule, the grandparents rule, down the years, including getting the guy Tony Cascarino, who turned out had no connection to Ireland.
We didn't know that at the time.
Lord, officer. Yes. So, it's like when, your favorite, your Premier League team, right? Arsenal, Liverpool, whatever, and they sign an Italian international for X amount of money and he plays a great season. And next minute, he's so good that Real Madrid sign him for X amount and he gets triple the pay. And everybody's going on about, he's betrayed us. He's betrayed Liverpool. He's not. He's an employee. He's moved for a better job.
He's taken the shilling. Yeah. Now, the only thing about the international thing, right? Yeah. If you join an international club, as opposed to that's slightly different. Is there not an emotive thing about pulling on a country's jersey and then deciding, actually, do you know what? I prefer white as opposed to green.
But here's the thing that we've never really acknowledged, and it's the thing we don't talk about. Going right back to Jack Charlton and all that success. And believe me, I travelled with the Irish team, went to a World Cup in Japan and Korea. I enjoyed every minute. I went to all the games. We had players playing for us that were born and raised Englishmen, right? Or Scots. And they had a grow for Ireland, some of them to a huge extent. Mm. And some of them became more Irish than the Irish themselves, as the old saying goes. But we've never acknowledged the fact that we profited greatly from this rule.
Morally.
Financially. And crackly, if you know what I mean. So for us to now kind of turn around and say to these two young guys, because they made the decision to play for England when they grew up in England, you're traitors to Ireland. I think that's a bit much. It cuts both ways. It works both ways.
I've been waiting all day, knowing we were talking about this, to ask Esther McCarthy about soccer.
I'm glad you did ask me. Yeah.
Have you any strong feelings about this?
Yes, I do. And I actually used to coach the under 15 boys in British Town Community School, I'll have you know. Anyway, what is very interesting, and John Fallon made the very good point in The Examiner yesterday, the day before, he said, Ireland actually snubbed them first. And Tom O'Connor was, quoted a couple of days ago saying, he thought Rice was a steady Eddie, that he didn't really rate him at all. And in 2013, in the under 15 trial day, Rice went to play, and he was playing for Chelsea at the time, and he didn't get on the under 19 squad.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? Maybe they were Ireland, and the way they did it, England was able to.
Is it our fault? Is that what you're saying?
It's our fault.
No,
it's our fault.
To be fair, they weren't minded. I don't think they were minded. And then releasing the whole plan that they were going to play him and then letting England come in and swoop them. I think there has to be some responsibility. I think they're dead right, do what's best for them, and
They're professional players.
Exactly. At the end of the day,
I don't feel any. No, I did get a kind of little. Oh, his grandparents in Douglas, and you know the way he met all the family that are still in Douglas, and you know that's lovely. But at the, like Cuivin Kelleher's from Douglas, and he's, you know, we're not giving out about him going over to Liverpool. And,
yeah, that's because he's,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's still playing for Ireland. So that, there's a big difference. There is going to be an unhealthy interest in off the pitch tomorrow. We talked about on the pitch a lot on the programme today. But like there is a kind of an aura around this particular fixture. Going back to the Lansdowne Road Royal Show.
Which I remember very well. I was working for the Star in Dublin at the time, and a friend of mine got very badly injured at that, a photographer. Here's the thing. I've been abroad with England fans and I've seen them up close, and it is not pretty. And to tell you the truth, if you're anywhere in Dublin tomorrow and there's a load of English fans around, I give them a white berth. I know it's a terrible thing to say, but unfortunately, and I'm sure there's loads of lovely English fans that are quite nice and lovely to talk to, but unfortunately, wherever they go,
like they congregate in particular.
There's just this nasty atmosphere grows and there's some really bad elements. I remember going with, like I said, I spent 12 years on the road with the Irish fans. I went everywhere in the world with the Irish fans, right? And the Irish fans did a very, very smart thing. The Irish fans are not angels, you know what I mean? And they drank too much and whatever. But they went in with a smile. Wherever they went in with a smile on their face and said hello to the cops and hello to everybody, and we're here and we're fine. Because in a lot of these places, I remember being in Macedonia, they had no idea what Irish people were like. They thought we were kind of English barbarians. And they were all very kind
we're
of
just
like,
Irish barbarians.
Yeah, we're Irish barbarians. It's okay. It's okay, we're Irish barbarians. And the Macedonians in Skopje were kind of like, who the hell are these guys? And a guy dressed up as St. Patrick marched straight up to a line of riot police and just stuck out his hand and went, hey lads,
which is ironically how St. Patrick first interacted with the Irish when he arrived on these shores. We've had our winners, and with winners you have to have sinners. And I'm going to begin with you, Joe. Who is on your list for sinners this week?
I'm grimly fascinated with American politics in the way that some academics study the Black Death in Europe, right? So J.D. Vance, and people will probably know him. J.D. Vance is Donald Trump's running mate for vice president of the United States. God help us all. And J.D. Vance, if you haven't been watching it closely, and I wouldn't blame you if you're not, we're 60 days out from the election, by the way, and which is terrifying. J.D. Vance has this weird, weird persona and has just been making gaffe after gaffe and saying weird thing after weird thing. He's the guy who came out with the childless cat ladies, right? He's the guy who decided to get into a popularity contest with Taylor Swift, you know?
Not the brightest thing.
No, no. Yeah. And also this week after that horrible, again, you know, another school shooting, Appalachian High School in Georgia yesterday, J.D. Vance went on stage at a rally last night and basically said school shootings are a fact of life. He said something along the lines of, I hate to say it, but this is a fact of life. People will try and attack schools. And what we should do is we should put armed guards in front of every school in America, which they're not going to be able to do. Consistently polls show most Americans favour, by a large degree, common sense gun laws. But 65% in the last major poll done said they wanted common sense. The 14-year-old who carried out killed two classmates or two schoolmates and two teachers yesterday. Last year, he was investigated by the police, local police in Georgia, for making threats or allegedly making threats about shooting people in school. They talked to his father, and his father said, we only have hunting rifles in the house and they're locked away. 3 months later, after the police talked to him, the father, for Christmas, bought this 14-year-old an AR assault rifle.
Which is the most lethal weapon you can use to
carry out those killings yesterday. 14-year-old. His son's name is Colt, by the way. His first name is Colt, named after the biggest gun manufacturer in the So J.D. Vance he's trying to normalize school shootings. He's a terrible person. He's an awful candidate. But there is a chance that he could, there's a strong chance.
Well, if he becomes vice president, there's a chance he'd become president at some point as well. Yeah. I wonder, Esther, was he put up there purely because the guy who is above him is the most rambling, ranting idiot that you can put out there? So therefore, by default, they needed somebody who was a little bit more unhinged than Trump is to take the effort and the attention away.
Like in Family Guy, when they hire an uglier version of Meg to stand by her so she looks more attractive.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. I don't know, but do you know what I thought of was how would the victims of all those gun shootings feel when they hear this guy who might be in power, might be the second most powerful guy in the world, say, it's just a fact of life. this kind of blasé reaction to this horrendous thing. And Jamie Guttenberg, her dad, came out. She was a victim of the Parkland shootings in 2018. And he was like, so my daughter Jamie's murder is just a fact of life. You know, like there's no sense of like that these are real people. These are it's just NRA gun, our right to, you know, our right to bear arms. This archaic, crazy, macho, really, really dangerous policies. And but like what I think is like if he's willing to get up there at a rally and say these things, he must believe and there must be a whole team of people behind him believing that this might get him elected. So like that's the real scary thing, like that they're not learning. Like Dunblane, we saw in 1996, they changed the laws. They had this horrific shooting in the school. They all public, and that's what I mean. Like, is the public will there in America to change and not let this guy do what he's saying he wants to do? Because the Snowdrop campaign changed the gun laws in Britain and gun violence and shootings.
But it's non-existent, absolutely.
Non-existent. You know, if it's so, like, it obviously works.
Yeah, but not in America because they see rights as sacrosanct. Yeah. The only thing about J.D. Vance is there is a huge comedic value to him.
Mm. Yeah.
Because there are numerous videos of him. He tried to buy donuts. It was the most awkward thing I've ever seen. He tried to talk to some people outside a factory. Some of them turned their backs and walked away. I mean, it is...
The dog thing. Remember when he tried to bring his dog to make him look more relatable?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's holding the dog leash and... He was on a dog leash, like it was the weirdest thing. Like he was trying to capture the dog and bring it off to prison or something. It was, he's barely. He comes across as barely human. He's like some malfunctioning robot. And there's millions of TikTok videos of people doing J.D. Vance, which are hilarious and you could watch all day. He's a terrible candidate, but like I said, there's an evens chance at the moment that he could be vice
president. It's one way or the other. The debate, which is happening next week, will probably help solidify it a little bit more, but we'll have to watch that with interest. Your list of sinners this week is substantial, Esther.
It is, and it's probably going to bring the buzz and the energy down a lot because I actually wasn't going to pick it because I was like, will I be able to get through this without getting really angry or really sad? So it's the Scoping Inquiry Report. So it's this report we've been waiting for a long time into the sexual abuse at religious-run boarding and day schools. So we all remember that Black Rock College, you know, there's this, just the shock of this public, expensive school run by the Spirit and Order. And there's massive revelations of this systemic abuse that happened there. So the government called for this report, you know, a wide-ranging report. And what's come back is just... We call it sinners, and for religious people of God to do this to the most vulnerable people that they're supposed to be in charge of is the worst sin that I can think of.
The way I would describe it, reading it during the week, it was obscene.
Yeah.
And I say that as somebody who hasn't been through it, who hasn't been victim, who hasn't, you know, experienced what those young people went on to experience having been victims. I mean, it was just obscene, yet it happened and it was... kind of allowed to happen.
Yeah,
Esther.
And they were allowed and they weren't afraid. They did in front of other students. It was described as ferocious violence. You can imagine, like, they're strong words. Can you imagine, you know, the rapes, assaults, that culture of silence, that big thing, that shame, that kind of concept that these people who are speaking, when it happened back in the 60s, 70s, it's their first time speaking of it and how it affected their lives, their careers, their family, their mental health, everything. Like, they've just... destroyed lives without any, you know, and again, you know, it's just like, oh, you know, the government is saying the religious orders have to play their part and there's all these, you know, we're very sorry and all these empty apologies that, and you know what as well, Jonathan, it just, I feel it beggars belief that education is still such a strong role in our education system today. Like, why do my generation go along with this 93% of, you know, primary schools being Catholic when, you know, all the census is showing that's not reflective of...
To be honest, that is down to the fact that nobody else wants to take on the role a lot of the time. That seems to be one of the problems. But Joe, one of the things that stood out for me was the list relating to the Brothers of Charity in particular and how that could have gone on at such an almost industrial scale of abuse without people calling halt. I mean, it must have been known. It must have been acknowledged beyond the walls.
But people knew. But they never talked about it. And you were, as kids, I remember being told to stay away from that man. Mm. Stay away from that guy. Don't go down there.
Don't be on your own.
Don't be on your own with that guy or those people or in there. What's bringing it up to date, what staggers me is you still have people in this country, apparently serious people, some of them with institutions, who are prepared to talk out against proper sex education and consent education in our schools and equipping our young people with the ability to say no and to know what's going on and to be in control of their bodies and to, you know, make choices for themselves. Part of the problem was back in the 70s and 80s when I was in school, you didn't know anything and people were victims.
You were deliberately not taught.
You were deliberately not. And you were, they were victims of ignorance. People I went to school with wouldn't know how to, you know, a lot of them. And these guys were experts at zeroing in on the most vulnerable, you know, the kids that they could get away with, you know, doing it to. So today, anybody who stands up in Ireland now today and says, well, we shouldn't be doing sex education. We could, you know, that should be the choice of the parents and or blah, blah, blah. They should not be taken seriously. In fact, they should be laughed out of court.
Do you know the funny thing? This week, Esther, there was a huge amount of discussion around a picture that was in a book was a junior cert book about, and it depicted an Irish family, a traditional Irish family. And the amount of oxygen that absorbed, I'm not singling out this radio station, but on this radio station and in newspapers and in other discussions, it almost eclipsed the actual discussion around this particular problem. Why is the question? Why did we end up not... We should be out on the streets over this.
We should. And like the stereotype was red hair, enjoyed potatoes, didn't like change was one of the ways that they were described underneath, you know. It's like maybe there's a point. Is anything changing? And like what Joe was saying about the most vulnerable, like out of that report... 17 special schools, look, no matter what about, you know, the poor children, we can educate people now. And I know my kids, I have it drilled into them. If anyone does something, you know, there's no secrets. If anyone does anything, you're not, you're allowed to feel safe. The special schools, the kids.
The most
vulnerable. Like how could men of God, and it was mostly men, who are supposed to believe in a hill, do something like this? Yeah. And why are we not saying this? As you say, we should be rioting on the streets over there.
Well, I've said men of God is not the word that I think would be accurately used based on that. And it's a discussion we're going to keep having. And we'll probably never get the resolution that would do any justice to the people who were affected most. Stay with us because we haven't even mentioned bike sheds yet.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff.
Jonathan in for Kieran Gotti. We are talking about winners and sinners. The bike sheds. Who's going to take the bike sheds? Esther, is it you?
Well, my husband has a business called Bike Shed, so I need to...
It's been a great week for you. It's a very lucrative industry, I hear.
The phone rings. Is that the bike shed? No, not that bike shed. Please, don't threaten us.
If he got €336,000 for doing a job, I'd be very happy.
Now that you've mentioned it, what does the husband do in the bike shed?
He just kind of lounges around mostly and pretends to go out to love surfing, if you ask me. But no, he is very
Again,
into
can't emphasise enough, we're on the radio and people can hear you, Esther. But carry on.
He's into the environment and he loves, you know, selling people bikes and repairing them.
Okay, well, that's far from what happened in Leinster House.
Yes, and I don't think he was up for that tender, to be fair. So at Leinster House, and even that, the fact they call it a bike shed, you know, €360,000 could get you a nice house, like. You
well,
know
a
what
shed
I mean?
Would imply that it has got four sides and you can close the door.
Yeah.
Most, they're saying what cost the most was this kind of rotor thing that's over, and they had to get archaeological, you know, help and all this. But like the north winds, apparently, no one will use it because it doesn't like actually keep the bikes dry.
I have to say, it's hard to credit Joe. I mean, I have this image of a civil servant somewhere at some point this week going, "Oh crap, they noticed."
Yeah, but do they actually care? Because you had the Minister for the OPW coming out and basically saying, you know, well, you know, what's everybody complaining about? Or, you know, these things cost money and blah, blah, blah.
I can't remember who, there was a tweet I read that said, no, fool, dig up. Was that you?
That was me. That was me. Dig up, stupid. You know, to borrow from The Simpsons. But here's the thing. It's not just bikes. As soon as taxpayers' money gets involved in anything in Ireland, it's like, okay, lads, fill your boots.
Absolutely.
All bets are off. shove me in an invoice there, and sure, you know, oh my God, we should get a second quantity surveyor in on this. And everybody makes out like bandits, and we're all doing great, and it's all fine, and nothing changes. And, you know, we're a weirdly, madly conservative country. We're conservative people. We don't do change at all, as they were saying in that primary school, but we don't like change. And we get scandals like these come along all of the time, and nothing...
There was an atrocious list came out in, I think you had it on Corpio, you had it in the Examiner. I'd forgotten about the massive printer that they couldn't get into the building.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about the phone bill that mysteriously kept voting for one particular politician when he was in a TV show. I mean...
It's not just the government. I mean, look at RT with the flip-flops, you know? I mean, it's just when it comes to public money, when it comes to taxpayers' money, it's like, it's fun money. It doesn't matter. Let's just spend it. You know what I mean?
But, like, there was no business case. They wouldn't give any, like, scoping documents, they said, for security reasons. Yeah. So they're not being held accountable. So why should... Do you know what I mean? Why shouldn't they? They had this big bit of their budget at the end they need to spend.
Yeah. You're laughing now, but if the Russian embassy got the hands on the blueprints for that bike shed,
ruined.
I remember there was another video I watched during the weekend that showed the actual metal part that you attached your bike to, and they were saying, sure, these are probably expensive. They googled them, it was 160 quid each.
There's
bizarre.
No way around. Like,
absolutely bizarre.
Like, Jack Chambers coming out, you know, saying, oh, this is a complete waste of money. Like, what's he going to do about it, though? He's there to do something about it.
It's like Micheál Martin on Ticketmaster. Say, we want Ticketmaster to reflect on what they've...
Right,
you might as well ask Genghis Khan to reflect on his pillaging. Like, Genghis, are you sure you wanted to do that? Are you sure, Genghis?
Yeah.
You know, the Competition Authority in England have launched an investigation into Ticketmaster.
Yes.
Something is going to happen there.
And Oasis said they were sorry.
Yeah.
It wasn't their idea. It was those mean people.
Nothing will happen in Ireland because there are no consequences for ripping off the public.
Would you actually want, as part of your to spend some of the state's money?
Yeah,
in a rapid turnaround.
In a dramatic turn of events, the Cork Event Centre has got yet another update on the Cork Non-Event Centre. 2016, the sod was turned. Since then, we've had... by my count, something like 13 or 14 start dates.
Mm.
It's never happened. Nothing. It's changed.
You can see this from your office, can't you?
I can see it from my house. I take this very personally. This is where I grew up. Where we are sitting now, 750 yards away, there are two giant dusty holes in the centre of Cork City, both controlled by BAM, both nothing happening in them, right? Cork Event Centre and the former tax office, which they knocked. It was low cost. The tax office was low cost for artist studios. They turfed them all out in 2017 and then took 3 years to knock it down, and then took two more years to take away the rubble from it being knocked down, and now it's empty. Cork people, we've had the Micheál Martin again saying this week, the final bit of funding will be announced before the budget.
Just around the corner.
Yeah, just around the corner, and just before the election, of course, you know, which we're not supposed to talk about, but there is an election coming. So Cork people will believe it when we see it.
And can't wait for Ticketmaster to charge us a huge amount of dynamic fees to attend events. I mean, it's a wonderful system, yet we keep coming back and asking for more. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us. Jo O'Shea of Corpio.ie, Esther McCarthy of IrishExaminer.ie, who has to go home and explain to her husband why she disparaged his business on the radio. But anyway, enjoyed that, Esther.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4:00 on News Talk.